Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and this week we're joined by not Pete Donaldson. He's away on holiday, hopefully enjoying the festive season. We'll be catching up with him again next week, but I am joined by Joey, the anime man. How are you doing, Joey?
I'm pretty good, how are you?
I'm good. It's happy Christmas, first off.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I was going to say something else, but I decided not to.
I don't know what you're going to say. Probably don't want to know. But I hope you guys have had a good week so far in the festive spirit, no matter where you might be. Obviously, 2020, not the best year at all, particularly for folks in the UK. But I hope, nonetheless, if you are in the UK or anywhere right now, that you've still had a good week.
Yeah.
And Joey and I have had a bit of fun together. We are here in Yamagata. We've been catching up with Natsuki, and Sharla and Aki are here as well.
Having a little romp in Yamagata.
A romp in Yamagata.
Some fun times in Yamagata.
Sounds like a really crappy series on YouTube.
Romp in Yamagata.
But we did exchange some presents. Sharla got me a mushroom farm.
Oh, yeah.
Of all things.
I remember that.
What did you get? Do you remember what you got?
You gave me a Perfect Blue DVD.
Satoshi Kon. Yeah.
Good friend. Sharla got me this, I guess, massaging thing that looks like a cat paw.
Right, yeah. a cat
that's pretty nice.
Massager.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah,
and I hope you got some good presents, folks, on your Christmas holiday. Oh, I can't believe how quickly it's come round. But I mean, this year has felt.
There's already only a week left of this year.
It's pretty depressing.
Yeah.
Although this year has felt like absurdly long compared to other years, and
in a sense, not
really in a good way.
No, like a please be over kind of.
Yeah,
long.
Yeah. It's been a very odd year. But a good year for you, right? What, with Trash Taste?
Yeah. The Trash Taste has been very successful.
If you haven't seen Joey's videos, and hopefully you have, because he was on Journey Across Japan both seasons, Joey is not only the face of the Anime Man channel. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is the Anime Man.
Yeah.
But he's also one of three members of Trash Taste,
yep.
The up-and-coming podcast.
Mm-hmm.
They say they're a podcast, but they're on YouTube mainly.
What?
Yeah. Traces to podcast.
Visual podcast.
What? The Abroad Japan channel could be a visual podcast if I just took a video of it.
If
I uploaded Abroad Japan to Spotify, would that make me a podcast?
No.
There you go. The same.
What
the same?
What's your argument?
Shut up. That's what I'm saying. But look, it's a good podcast.
Yeah.
And I should know because I've been on it, not only once but maybe again.
Yeah.
In
possibly.
The near future. Possibly. Spoilers ahead. I might be on it again soon. So there's that to potentially.
I mean, you're always welcome back.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I beg every week. I send a letter every week.
And please, I need more clout. He says.
Get me on trash tape. But this week we kick off with our story of the week, and it is from Mark, and he begins. Dear Chris and Pete, who's unfortunately not here, long time viewer of the Abroad Japan channel, which I realised was a pun while I was typing this out. Laugh out loud. I can't believe people still haven't got the pun. But then again, I don't really tell people my name is Chris Broad, so I'll let it go.
I mean, Aki thought your surname was Abroad. Remember? Chris Abroad.
Joey's girlfriend thought my name was Chris Abroad. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark continues. But I recently discovered you had a podcast. I've been busily working my way through the back catalogue, and I heard the episode where you complain about NHK, Japan's equivalent to the BBC.
Oh, yeah.
I've been an avid watcher of NHK documentaries, such as Japanology, Trails to Ohishi, Tokyo, etc. So much so, my partner and I started a drinking game out of it. Whenever somebody says sugoi or oishi or so desu ne, we take a shot of sake. Not surprisingly, we're totally bladdered by the time Peter Barakan mentions he grew up in England for the eighth time. He does do that a lot. It got me thinking about the concept of aizuchi, or back-channeling. Mm. How important is it, really? Do you just pick it up through osmosis? Do Japanese people think you sound cold or uninterested if you don't use it? Or do you stick with, yeah, all right, mate?
I love the way he spelled that, too.
A friend of mine married a Japanese girl many years ago, and she taught him how to use aizuchi.
Mm.
But she naughtily taught him the aizuchi style Japanese women typically use. So it caused great laughter from her friends when she first introduced this massive power lifter of a bearded Scotsman who earnestly engaged in conversation in what can only be described as a lady's voice. Lady's Japanese voice. I was supposed to be working in Japan for 6 months this year, but alas, Corona Sama, sounds like a family-friendly character.
Yeah.
Nixed that. Fingers crossed for September 2021. The podcast, great. Enjoying the banter. Keep up the great work, Mark. And thank you, Mark. Hope your year has ended okay. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you're able to get over here next year in September. Mm. Everybody seems to be coming in September next year. It's always September, isn't it?
It's always September or November.
September.
It's always the hot season.
But that's a really interesting topic, bat channeling, which is where you kind of go,
my friend described it as anime reaction noises.
Anime reaction noises.
It's the Ah, so nanda.
Yeah, like if you're talking for an extended period of time, you've got to really overreact to somebody. You've got to kind of overreact and show you're not only listening but enthusiastic about whatever the speaker's discussing.
Right. It's I guess the short burst of yes, I am listening that you have to do. Whereas in an English conversation, you can silently listen, and as long as you respond in some way, you can, you know, be like, yes, I am listening. But in Japanese, if you don't do the every now and then people just think you're not listening or you're ignoring them. And I get that a lot, actually, in my interview videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, why does Joey keep doing anime reaction noises during the interview? And it's because I've just been... It's just second nature to do it when speaking Japanese.
And that's why I did all my interviews with the Hot Hide, like the rock star dude last year. That's why I did it all in English.
Right.
Because I don't feel comfortable doing the back channeling thing to that extent. And I knew that my viewers would be like, what the hell is he doing?
But the problem is that it's gotten to the point now where I also do that in English.
Eh?
Yeah. I do I just subconsciously kind of do, I've probably done it already just in this podcast.
Definitely. But it's true. It's a strange thing. And I wonder why that is a thing in Japanese culture. It's just politeness, right?
Yeah, I guess it is just politeness.
Another aspect of politeness.
And again, it's just the short burst of affirmation, right? To be like, yes, I am listening. Yes, I am interested in the conversation.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess so.
Just did it again.
It kind of comes off as condescending to me, though. Because I'll talk about something and often I feel like they're not really listening. They're just going.
Well, that's the thing. That's a common problem in Japanese, I guess, culture, where it's there's always that one person you know where their aizuchi is just way too exaggerated. Like, and when it gets to that point, it just becomes very frustrating to listen to.
And that's what Mark referred to, right? His friend, this bearded powerlifter Scotsman, who's doing it in a Japanese voice.
Right.
Like, what's the difference between men and women in that regard, you think? Just women are much more, like, responsive?
I guess, and I don't know. Obviously, it's based off a stereotype, but I guess the stereotype is that Japanese women...
A lot more, I think, like, women.
They're a lot more, I guess, enthusiastic with their aizuchi, whereas a lot of guys, like myself, kind of just do the...
Right.
You know, just the short mutters.
But that's a really important thing to master when you're learning Japanese, and that you don't find it in textbooks. It's one of those topics that is never covered in beginner's Japanese textbooks, but is extremely important if you want to actually ever, like, actually become
It's a very
native.
Important social skill when dealing with Japanese people,
It absolutely is. So I'd encourage you, if you are, listening in, guys, and you're learning Japanese...
But don't overdo it.
Don't overdo it. But look up aizuchi, A-I-Z-U-C-H-I.
Mm.
And that's what it means, back-channeling in Japanese. And
I didn't know that's what it was called in English, to be honest.
Yeah, back-channeling. Showing you're following on from the conversation, following along. So while you're here, Jerry, I thought we'll pick your brains on a few topics relating to Japanese culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good one to kick us off. Last week we talked about why you do YouTube, the highs and lows of being a YouTuber. And this week I thought we'd focus more on Japanese culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to, when I do interviews with folks, I've only done it three times now, you're the third person, along with Norm, Tokyo Lens, and Sharla. I like to ask about your favourite places in Japan, places you would recommend listeners visit.
Oh man,
because 6 is my favourite number. It is now.
The number of the beast.
I want to know 6 places you would recommend to our listeners that they visit when they come to Japan. Places that have touched you and places that you enjoy.
Locations. I really don't want to be the guy to give the answers that everyone knows.
And if you say Tokyo and Kyoto, you failed.
Yeah. I guess one that I would like to think is unique to me is Enoshima.
Oh, Enoshima.
Yeah.
The island of Enoshima.
Yeah, island of Enoshima in...
a good one.
In Kanagawa. It's about, I'd say, God, maybe 35, 40 minutes away from Yokohama by train.
Yeah.
Right on the coastline. It's in this place called the Shonan Coastline near Kamakura. It basically extends from Fujisawa to Kamakura along that shoreline. Enoshima is this kind of one island that's kind of sticking out of the peninsula.
It's a pretty cool area. Like, there's a lot of surfers and kind of... I remember when I went there, I felt like I was in America or something.
Yeah, in a sense.
There's
also
like burger restaurants and pancake restaurants on the seafront.
Yeah, and there's this one train that runs along the Shonan coastline called the Enoden. And it's one of my favorite trains just because it's so compact and tiny, and it's one of those trains that goes through houses, essentially.
Literally through the kitchen.
Literally through the kitchen.
They call it.
Watch out, housewife. Beep, beep.
God.
No, but the train gets, you know, scarily close to the walls of these houses, to the point where if you stuck your hand out of the train window, you probably could touch the walls of the house. Really,
why isn't this a video? My favorite train in Japan.
I'm surprised you've never made a video on it.
I've not been on this train.
Really?
Well, I'm going to now.
Oh, we gotta go. I spent an entire day once with a friend of mine where we went on the Enoden from Fujisawa and got off every single stop and kind of explored around the stop because, I mean, I actually would like to live around that area.
You would like to ride the train?
Well, I mean, there's so many, I don't know. I think I said this in the last podcast, but I love the cities or towns where it's a perfect blend of countryside and city.
Mm-hmm.
And every single stop along this Enoden is that. It's just perfect blend of... It's countryside, but it's not middle of nowhere countryside.
Right, okay.
Like, there's the proper necessities that, you know, you can... If you have a car, very handy. Everything's there at your hand, but... But it's also really quiet. Lots and lots and lots of nature around.
I mean, Enoshima is a really nice place. I've been there. I went there to do a cat documentary.
Mm-hmm. The cat shrine.
Not the cat shrine. Apparently, Enoshima, some people call it like a cat island.
Right.
Even though it's clearly not.
No, it's not.
felt we were desperately plucking at straws there.
I've seen two cats on the Inosuman.
Yeah, and we went there for like 3 hours.
Right.
And I had to look for cats, and we found like one cat.
Yeah.
I'm like, this isn't Cat Island. Why have we come here? And it wasn't even featured.
Who the hell calls it Cat Island?
It wasn't even featured in the documentary. It was that bad.
Right.
But that aside, I did find the beaches were really nice.
Yeah.
Quite crowded though in certain times of the year.
Oh, definitely.
Because it's like a good escape from Tokyo while still being in the Tokyo area.
And
right?
There's lots of, like, on the actual island, there's lots of these tiny, tiny, locally, like, family-owned restaurants where they serve you, like, fresh seafood that they catch off Shonan, and it's...
You're really selling it to me, actually.
It's really lovely. I love it. And again, like, all the stops along this Inoden are just... It's so picturesque. It's like what you envision Japanese, I guess, residential areas to look like. It's the perfect picture of a residential area. And it's great. I love it. So I definitely recommend that. It really anywhere along the Shonan. You know, Hase is really good as well, where there's the giant Buddha statue.
Yeah, in Kamakura.
Right before Kamakura, yeah. It's like two stops away from Kamakura. And Kamakura as well is lovely. It's just a more traditional.
I'm going to bundle that all under number one.
Yeah.
So number one, Enoshima.
Oh, God. All right.
Number two,
Utsunomiya.
Utsunomiya.
Yeah, in Tochi.
Ah, the
Gyoza City.
The second stop out of Tokyo on the bullet train.
Yeah, yeah.
Gyoza City, yeah.
Gyoza City, as is colloquially known, because there's lots and lots of gyoza restaurants in Utsunomiya for some reason. I don't know why.
I made a video there with Natsuki once about a monkey bar where these monkeys come out with beer and serve you beer.
Right.
I took it down because I don't know, I felt maybe it wasn't...
It was a little weird.
Was it unethical?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy seemed to like the monkey. The bar owner liked the monkeys.
Right. But did the monkeys like the bar owner?
Well, they seemed to, but we couldn't really interrogate them on the matter. But that's my image of Utsunomiya is gyoza and monkey bar.
Right, right.
Why is that on your list?
Because I used to go to Utsunomiya quite a bit with my cousins because they live in Saitama. So it's like a, you know, 35-minute train ride from Saitama.
Okay.
Because it's just one prefecture across in Tochigi. So it's quite close. So you can easily do a day trip there. And I mean... I love gyoza, personally.
And it's also the gateway to Nikko, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Nikko's right nearby as well.
Beautiful area that I've yet to go to. Still on the last frontier.
You've never been to Nikko?
No, it's crazy.
Nikko's lovely.
Top tourist destination that I've not actually been to.
Yeah.
I should definitely go.
Utsunomiya's great. If you like gyoza, and even if you're not into gyoza, there's lots of really great tiny restaurants around the area, and it's, it's quaint.
This is good. This list is very different from Charlotte.
I'm trying hard to.
No, this is good. All right, number three.
Well, personally, I really love going to East Ikebukuro.
East Ikebukuro.
Yeah.
So Ikebukuro is like a city within a city. It's a city in Tokyo.
It's a city in Tokyo.
It is basically a district in Tokyo.
Yeah. Essentially. Itabashiku.
They've got the Pokemon Center.
Yeah, they have Sunshine City.
Yeah.
They have Sunshine Road as well. That's all on the east side. The east side is definitely more hustling and bustling in terms of stuff that you can do.
Mm.
Not to say that the west side doesn't have anything, but the west side is a lot more, I guess... Grody. It's the only way. It's a little
grimy.
It's a little seedy, yeah.
Right,
seedy. On the west side. But one thing about West Ikebukuro that I really, really like is that there are, for some reason, a lot of Southeast Asian restaurants.
Oh, okay.
Lots of Malaysian, Singaporean, Thai, Indian restaurants, all kind of collected in in West Ikebukuro. For some reason, I don't know why.
That's cool. I've one of the best bowl of ramen I've actually had in Tokyo was in Ikebukuro. And I can't remember the name of the ramen shop, and I need to look it up. I think it had won a Michelin star or something, but I remember queuing up for about 25 minutes.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
I need to look it up because it was exceptional, and I very much want to go back there. But that's my image of Ikebukuro, Pokemon and ramen.
Yeah, Pokemon Center is there. Well, the first ever Pokemon Center is there. If you go a little further beyond the Pokemon Center, there's this place called Otome Rodo.
Okay.
Otome Road, which is where a lot of the female otakus like to go to shop. There's lots of like cosplay shops around there, so I like to go there with Aki to peruse that area as well. So
cool.
I feel like Ikebukuro is perfect because I usually recommend, if you're like an otaku or you love anime and you come to Japan, most people think, I'm going to Akihabara.
Naturally.
Right? Naturally. It's like, that's anime city, that's electric city, right? I'm going to go to Akihabara. But honestly, Akihabara, there's a part of me that doesn't recommend Akihabara to otakus because it's a little too overwhelming.
Right.
Akihabara's a little too... Because I feel the only reason you would realistically go to Akihabara is if you're an anime fan and if you're an otaku. Because, truth be told, there isn't a whole lot to do in Akihabara if you're not an anime fan.
There's some good restaurants.
There's some good restaurants.
Monster Ramen.
Yeah, Monster Ramen. There's the beef building.
Yeah,
that does all of the expensive yakinikus and stuff like that. That place is great. And you know, the Abura soba and the Maza soba and stuff like that is really good as well.
Oily soba.
Yeah, the mixed soba is really, really good. But if you want to go to Akihabara for shopping and you're not an anime fan, you're going to have a hard time.
Interesting.
Whereas Ikebukuro, I feel, is the... I've always said Ikebukuro is the perfect mix between Shibuya, Shinjuku, and Akihabara.
Right.
In the sense that the things you can do in Ikebukuro, you can do in all three of those other cities as well. But they're all kind of just mixed together perfectly in a perfect ratio. You can go clothes shopping in Ikebukuro like you can in Shinjuku and Shibuya. You can shop for anime stuff like you can in Akihabara. You can eat good food like you can in Shinjuku. It's kind of a mix of all.
So it's almost like all the best parts of Tokyo rolled into one neighborhood.
Yeah, I feel like it. And so I can easily take my, you know, anime-loving friends to Ikebukuro, but I can also take, you know, just my mum to Ikebukuro and have a nice meal with her.
Take your mum to Ikebukuro, have a great time, have a nice dinner.
Yeah.
Number three, Ikebukuro. Nice one. All right, number four.
Number four. Probably Odaiba.
Odaiba. Mm. The kind of futuristic neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Which we talk about on the podcast every now and then because it's the home of Asimo the robot.
Yeah, yeah.
At the Mirai Khan Future Museum.
And the life size Gundam robot. You got
the life size Gundam robot. Yeah. Although the one in Yokohama has dwarfed it, it seems, these days.
Yeah, the one that's currently in development.
For those of you that don't know, they've built a to scale Gundam robot in Yokohama that moves.
That actually moves, yeah.
Yet to see it with my own eyes, but you can look at videos of it online moving.
Yeah, I really want to go check it out. It's really cool. But. Odaiba's really cool, and also Odaiba has Oedo Onsen as well.
Oh, Oedo Onsen.
It's one of the biggest public bath places.
Yeah, it's a huge public bath.
It's more like an onsen amusement park, isn't it?
Yeah, I used to recommend it a lot, because if you're in Tokyo and you don't have much time to leave Tokyo, it's a good place to experience the whole kind of bathing culture, right?
And also it has like a kind of like... They've made mock-up summer festival type of thing inside the building as well. So even if you can't go into the bath because you have tattoos or whatever, you can still go in and just have a good time.
Yeah, I used to recommend that a lot. That's quite cool, yeah. Oedo Onsen or Odaiba.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week on Stakhanov.
Over on the Luke and Pete Show, we've been discussing our usual nonsense, from Disney princesses to fizzy lagers and a whole load more. Here's a taster of what's been on the show.
For some reason, our little recording system has got this piece of music installed. It. I think it's incidental music in a sex ed BBC Two 10 a.m. kind of job.
No way!
It is.
It's too groovy. It's too groovy.
Yeah, it's just like now on BBC Two, sex and your child.
Meanwhile, over on WrestleMe, we've been doing the 12 days of WrestleMemus, which you can find on our Patreon or your favourite podcast player.
That's why also America is like leading the world in serial killers, you know, because they have rum. They have rum.
They have
to dismantle, to dismember,
dismantle,
to staff, yes, to make marionettes.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, very difficult to be a serial killer.
I would knock into things. I'd get blood everywhere.
But there's always some nosy beak, isn't there? Someone sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
Number five. Jesus. I want to say Akabane.
Akabane, in Tokyo.
In Tokyo.
It's a very Tokyo-heavy list so far.
Yeah.
Not surprising, given you live in the Tokyo area.
Yeah, yeah.
Akabane, what's there? I don't think I've ever been there.
You've never been? So Akabane is in the very northern part of Tokyo, right before you enter Saitama.
Yeah.
And I'm only saying this one because I used to live around that area.
Okay.
And Akabane is like a... It's like... It has the drinking culture of Shibuya.
Yeah.
But it is a tenth of the size of Shibuya.
Oh.
So in other words, there's way less people, but just as many places to go drinking and eating in Akabane.
Right.
And they have this place, the one place I used to go to a lot in Akabane is this place called Ichibangai.
Ichibangai.
Yeah, which is kind of like Central Guy in Shinjuku. In Shibuya.
Golden Guy.
Kind of like Golden Guy, but right. more so like Dogenzaka in Shibuya.
Okay,
where it's just this long road full of izakayas, restaurants and bars and all that kind of stuff. And there's this really good oden place in Ichibangai.
How do you describe oden for listeners that don't know? This is one of the Japanese dishes you don't really hear much about outside Japan.
Oden, I guess, is winter exclusive kind of hot pot,
yeah,
without the broth, in a sense.
You get it in convenience stores, right? You go in and you'll go in and there'll be like different foods in a kind of soupy broth. Like you'll have like sausages, you'll have omelet, you'll have radish, and stuff. And it's quite. It took me years to actually get into it, but now, especially in winter, it's really nice to
fantastic
go
in winter. Yeah,
grab some sausages and some eggs and some radish and mustard on there.
And Akabane as well has one of my favorite tsukemen places.
Oh,
as well.
Cool!
Because I prefer
dipping
tsukemen
ramen
over ramen personally, and I'm trying to spread the good word of tsukemen to people because not enough people eat it.
It's true. Tsukemen is ramen where you have the soup and you have the noodles separate, right? Yeah.
And people might think, well, what's the point? Because I'm going to put the soup and the broth together. You'll understand when you have good skimming that it hits different.
And there's a very good place near here, and I wish I could have taken it if there's more time, where I was converted to skimming. The ways of skimming.
Yeah.
Basically, because the noodles are separate from the soup, the soup that you dip the noodles in tends to be kind of stronger, I find, and more flavorful.
Yeah, yeah.
To make up for that,
the noodles are thicker, the broth is way more flavorful.
Because rather than having the noodles in the broth for an extended period of time, you sort of drop them in briefly, right?
Yeah.
So you need to soak them in lots of flavour quickly.
So if you leave it in for too long, it's like too much of an explosion of flavour.
But I find like
because the noodles are separate, you can enjoy the noodles more and appreciate the quality of the noodles. But yeah. Interesting. Okay, and last place, number six.
Last place, I want to say Hakuba.
Hakuba, the biggest ski resort in Japan.
Yes.
I think it's the biggest, and it's the most...
It's.
They had the Olympics there, the Winter Olympics, didn't
they? I don't know if it's the biggest. Maybe Niseko might be bigger. I don't know, but Hakuba...
In Nagano Prefecture.
Yes, Nagano Prefecture. Hakuba is, a ski resort. But you can go in the summer as well and go hiking in the mountains and stuff like that. That's really pretty.
You used to work there, right?
I used to work there, yeah. I used to work at a ski resort kind of like situation. Worked at a restaurant and stuff like that. So I have a lot of fond memories of working in Hakuba. But yeah, Hakuba, especially in the winter, is lovely because it's this really, I guess, tight-knit community of people who kind of, you know, of course go and, you know, do the whole skiing and snowboarding stuff, but the food and drink culture there as well is
Although most really of this nice. List involves drinking at some point. It's like,
I mean,
like Akabane, there's drinking. I like Ikebukuro, you could get drunk with my mum. It's like, it's always
not necessarily.
There's so much drinking.
Not necessarily. Akabane is still fun, even if you can't drink.
Right.
I'm just saying. But Hakuba is really nice.
I haven't been to Hakuba. It's one of the ski resorts I haven't been to, and has it got like an alpine feeling to it? Is it like alpine?
Oh, definitely,
style?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Because it's on the base of the Hapo. It's called the Hapo Mountain Range, I think it's called.
Yeah, near the Japanese Alps.
Yeah, so Hakuba is just one mountain out of the Hapo Mountain
Alps.
Range.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be the Japanese Alps. I'm not too sure.
Towering mountains.
Yeah, lots of really really tall snow mountains, and Hakuba Village is at the base of that area. And, I mean, it's really close to Nagano City as well. I mean, by car, it's like 15, 20 minutes away.
Mm.
I don't know. If you like your, you know, winter wonderland, skiing, snowboarding, that kind of stuff, just, you know, the onsens there are lovely as well.
Yeah.
Just because it is in the mountains, you can, you know, go out and explore the forests around that area.
That's an edge that Japanese ski resorts have over, I think, French ski resorts, certainly the ones I've been to, that in Japan... A lot of these ski resorts have some beautiful hot springs, right, around them. And there's one here near where we are called Mount Zao in Yamagata, which is my favourite. And that's got lots of hot springs.
Oh, you've been to Mount Zao on the Yamagata side. I've been to Mount Zao on the Miyagi side.
A mountain so big it's got ski resorts on both sides.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that is a really cool list. We've got Enoshima, the island just off the coast of Tokyo. Good for a day trip if you're living...
That's my favourite, Enoshima, out of the six.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you want a day trip outside of Tokyo, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Utsunomiya, number two, another day trip there as well. Mm-hmm. If you like gyoza... and if you want to go to Nikko, that's the place you'll pass through.
Yep.
Ikebukuro, in the heart of Tokyo itself, there's Pokemon Center, there's ramen.
I love how that's all you know about Ikebukuro.
There's a Pokemon
Center. There's a Pokemon
Center. And Southeast Asian cuisine.
Yeah.
We've got Odaiba, the futuristic island with Gundam statues. And why did you like it again? Oh,
Oedo
Onsen, the biggest onsen in Tokyo. Akabane, where you could get drunk and drink more and drunk.
Very traditional Japanese drinking culture around there.
Traditional drunk culture with tsukemen.
Yeah, there's a great tsukemen restaurant.
And Hakuba, the best ski resort in Japan, arguably.
Yeah.
That I've yet to go to.
I think it's the best one.
Now on the subject of Australia and Japan.
Okay.
As an Australian.
Yeah.
He's been to Japan.
Yeah.
As a half Australian, half Japanese individual.
Yes.
What does Australia do better than Japan?
I would say Australia definitely does the whole beach culture thing better.
Japan doesn't really have a beach culture.
Well, that's the thing.
As much as
I love the Shonan area, I very rarely step onto the actual beaches of the Shonan area. Just because a lot of it is kind of grody.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's not very nice.
This word grody.
Yeah.
Grody. What's that mean? It's grimy.
I guess that's an Australianism.
Wow, grody.
Grody just means like gross.
Interesting.
Yeah, like grimy.
Learning English
seedy.
In Australian.
Seedy grody. Is another word we use.
I mean, yeah, I'm not surprised about Australian beach culture. From what I understand is about as good as it gets, right?
I'd argue it's the best.
In Japan, it's probably the worst in the world because, sadly...
I don't know, man. I've been to some American beaches. It was pretty bad.
Well, the problem with Japan is I think 80% of the coastline is concreted over.
Right.
Due to... questionable government spending. Also I've noticed people in Japan just don't go to the beach. Like where we are now, we are about 5 minutes from some beautiful beaches.
Ow.
And nobody ever goes there. For 2 weeks in August, and that is because they only go there in August when there's a lifeguard.
Right.
But if there's no lifeguards around, no one would dare go anywhere near the sea.
Right.
And it's strange. There's a different relationship with the sea in Japan. Like in the UK, right? Well, any chance to go in the sea, we're up for it.
Mm.
Mainly just in August.
Same in Australia, even though we have to dodge every animal in the ocean.
True.
Because it'll probably kill us, but
that's very true.
We still commit to that anyway.
But like in Japan, it's pretty damn hot from April to October. It's very hot.
Yeah.
And in the UK, we do, true, it's, we go swimming in the sea mostly from sort of June to August when it's bearable and warm. But right. in Japan, it's formidably hot. For half the year. And yet still people don't think, oh, I'm going to go and refresh myself in the
sea. I guess
sea.
Really the only place, in my experience, that where the beach culture is well and alive is Okinawa.
Okinawa's,
But I mean...
slightly different.
You know, Okinawa's mostly beaches, so...
True. That's a bit, I mean, yeah, that doesn't come as a surprise, though. Australia does beaches better than Japan. But what does Japan do better than Australia?
Japan definitely does... I mean, I think Japan does better than any country as the whole... idea of, I guess, politeness, customer service.
Are you saying Australians aren't polite?
No. They're not. They're a lot like every other English-speaking Western country where, you know, you'll get the bare minimum of customer service. And
right.
Every now and then you might go to a high-end restaurant where they'll give you some kind of service that's tippable, but other than that, it's kind of just, you know, I'm getting paid minimum wage and I'm going to give you minimum wage level of service.
Japan's service quality... is exceptional.
It's there next. Can be no it's number are, one in my opinion.
What they say, customers are god in Japan.
Okaku wa kami. Yeah.
Okaku wa kami.
Kami.
Yeah. Customers are god.
Customers god.
From my experience over the last 8 years, I can't think of like any situations really where I've felt the experience has been bad. Some family-run restaurants.
The family-run ones can
be hit or miss. Yeah. Like especially out in the countryside where they're not used to foreigners, they don't know quite what to do, and they're a bit more abrupt, and they feel like they don't need your custom. But
right,
very few and far between those experiences.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But service quality is exceptional, and apparently better than Australia.
I mean, yeah, definitely better than Australia.
I'll tell you now that it's certainly better than.
But
than
at
British
the same time, at the
culture.
Same time, when I say that. I think Australia definitely does the whole stranger friendliness a lot better than Japan can. I mean, I think I said in the last podcast, but, you know, you can be lining up at a supermarket at the cash register and you could easily strike up a conversation with the person in front of you. Whereas in Japan, if you did that, you'd probably get looked at very strangely.
I think that's the problem with Japan having such standardized service, right? They can come across as quite robotic with their fixed phrases and their fixed mannerisms in Japan with the service.
Right.
The quality is good, but there's no degree of personalization. There's no degree of... Often it can be absent of warmth.
Although I do every now and then, you know, kind of... I get a gauge of the person who's serving me, wherever it might be. And if it seems like they're friendly enough, I will every now and then just strike up a random conversation. And a lot of them are very happy to oblige. Like, you know, I went to get my suit done at the dry cleaners, for example.
Right.
And the woman there, you know, was very... chippy, very happy about it, and I just struck up a conversation. I was filling in the paperwork, and it was lovely.
And of course, it does happen, you know, quite a lot. But still,
but a lot of the times, you have to be the one to instigate that.
You do,
Like they're not
so polite.
Yeah, they're not going to be the ones to be like, so what have you been doing? Whereas in Australia, that can very easily happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting point. Service quality in Japan is very different. I remember when I got my phone, the woman in Docomo, she got down on her knees and presented the phone to me like. A sword
like,
or a dagger.
Like you're about to be knighted.
Take this sword and vanquish us from the dragon. Well, it was just an iPhone, iPhone 8. what's one experience, though, that everyone coming to Japan should have? One experience you believe everyone coming to Japan should have?
One experience? I guess just, I don't know, in whatever way you can, I guess... getting a first-hand experience of just how much Japan values tradition.
Right.
I think. Whether that be...
going to like a festival.
Whether that be going to a festival, going to a shrine, you know, visiting a castle or whatever, you know, experiencing food in a way that is done and served in a very traditional way. Because I think that's one thing that... really excites a lot of foreigners about coming to Japan is that Japan is really good at maintaining tradition.
It's one of its strengths, for sure. It
definitely one of its strengths. And, you know, that's why we have so many amazing geographical locations within Japan that, you know, a lot of countries, unfortunately, have just not bothered to keep or really respect in that sense.
Right.
And, you know, Japan is really good at that because it is all about, you know, it's a culture that's driven by culture and respect for that culture and respect for that tradition. So I think I'd say that's like the number one most straightforward way to get the quote unquote Japan experience is just experience the fact that this country really has so much respect for its culture and tradition and where it came from.
I mean, it's got every UNESCO World Heritage Award status.
Yeah, right.
They always joke about it that they should just make the entire country a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Japan is a UNESCO.
Every aspect, every facet of the culture is like, we're World Heritage status.
Honestly, UNESCO. Like you could you know point to any part of Japan, and I guarantee within the, you know, 10 to 50 kilometer radius, there's probably some kind of UNESCO thing in there, right?
We can only hope that one day Family Mart Fried Chicken receives UNESCO heritage status.
This is the food of Japan.
The food of Japan, quite rightly so. Well, thank you, Jerry, for joining us these last two episodes.
Yeah, of course.
On the Abroad Japan podcast. It's been a lot of fun chatting with you.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll see Joey next year on Journey Across Japan Season 3.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Looking forward to. Unfortunately, this week, guys, we don't have enough time for the fax machine for your questions, but we'll certainly make up for that when Pete, the great Pete Donaldson, rejoins us in the next few days. But for now, guys, enjoy Christmas week. And wrap what's left of your presents. Drink some mulled wine. Do what do people do in Australia at Christmas?
Go in the pool and
go
have
in
a
the
beer.
Pool. Have a beer.
Yeah.
Do that. But enjoy the Christmas season, and we'll join you on Wednesday one last time for the end of 2020, and we'll take a look back at the year and the year's events. But for now, guys, enjoy yourself, and thanks again, Joe, for joining us.
Of course.
See you then, guys. Have a good one.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.